Scripture reading this evening is 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. I'll be reading from the New English Translation. It's 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 9. Be sober and alert. Your enemy, the devil, a roaring lion, is on the prowl looking for someone to devour. Resist him, strong in your faith, because you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are enduring the same kinds of suffering.
Thank you, Bob. We're glad that you're here. Where was everybody else this morning? I guess maybe we need some phone calls made and some people encouraged. Our enemy, we have one, you know. It's not that that we just live this Christian life and everything goes smoothly. We never have problems. We never have persecution. We always have plenty of money in our bank account. We don't have to worry about our health. We don't have to be concerned about other people. But the truth is, that's not the world we're living in. The world we're living in is a world that nowadays almost targets Christianity, humiliates Christianity. And yet, Christianity is the only body of people who will live eternally. The adversary, the Bible calls the devil the adversary. There are different names for him. And this evening, we want to look at a few of these. The first one literally is enemy or adversary. Be self-controlled, alert, your enemy. This is the word antidikos, and it means somebody who is an adversary or an enemy, even an opponent at law. And some say, well, this doesn't refer to that concept, the devil at law, but yet the truth is, the devil is one who accuses before God. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Revelation, the 12th chapter. In this chapter, we find a picture that's just a horrible picture. It looks like that this woman who is about to give birth to a child is going to lose her child. There is a dragon who is pictured as crouching down low where the child is going to be born through the normal birth position, and the devil is crouching there like as soon as the child is born, he's going to devour the child. 1 Peter chapter 5 talks about the devil wants to devour us. And so the Bible says in verse 5, she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. What a wonderful blessing that is. Verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. You understood, he said, the accuser of our brothers. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Yes, the devil, there are people that say, well, the devil must have been God's choir boy, or the devil was this, that, or the other, because he had a place in heaven. Well, as far as we understand, the only place that he had in heaven was to accuse God's people before the Father. So he is the great accuser. We're going to see that in just a moment. But the truth is, if you've ever thought about war on earth, we've seen pictures. I know my father-in-law, not long after they were able to go into Nagasaki and Hiroshima, after the bombs were dropped, he was over there. They went in, and it was just an absolute astounding situation. And our nephew, who's been in Iraq, I don't know if it's been three tour of duties or four, and others who have been in places like that talk about how ugly war is. But can you imagine that war would find itself in heaven, God's dwelling, that there would be a battle there? But the reality is that battle has taken place, and Jesus Christ has been victorious. He fought the battle for the souls of mankind. He won the battle for the souls of mankind with his own death, burial, and resurrection. He is a liar, that is the devil. He doesn't know how to tell the truth. If you'll recall in Genesis, the third chapter in verse 4, when the woman who had been told by the devil, the serpent, if you'll just eat this fruit, she said, but if I eat the fruit, I'll die. Verse 4, the devil said, you will not surely die. And thus began the lying, the deception, the untruths. In John the 8th chapter, as Jesus is dealing with his very own people, the people that should have enjoyed him, should have rushed to his side and taken up arms against the devil and others, to those who should have, could have, but did not. Jesus, beginning in John 8 and verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, insinuating that God was not their father, because like father, like son. And he explains that. If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So, of his own people, Jesus was saying, you are not a son of God, you are a son of the devil, because you tell lies and you believe lies. So that's what the devil was known for. In the book of Job, I don't know where the devil came from, and it doesn't matter. In Job, the first chapter, the angels of God appear before God. Some of the translations say that these are sons of God. And I don't know the Hebrew word, I don't know the Hebrew language that well, but here's what the Bible says in Job chapter 1, verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. You see, the devil's a slanderer. Well, yeah, God, of course Job is blameless and upright. You won't let me at him. You've put him in a sterile environment. You won't let sin crouch at his door. And that's not the truth at all. And then, of course, we know the story of Job and how the devil went after him. And even though the devil took all of his children and his possessions, Job didn't curse God. And so then in the second chapter, again, he appears before God. And God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And he said, "Skin for skin. Let me get him, and he'll curse you." What a slanderer. What an accuser. When I was a boy, of course, Mom and Dad left at 6:30 in the morning and got home at 5:30 at night. So us three older children and my little brother, for the most part, we were on our own when we weren't at our grandparents. And oh, the stories that little tattletales would have to tell when Mom and Dad walked in the door. "Mom and Dad, you'll never believe what Harry and Larry did." And my dad would say, "Now, do you have to be a tattletale?" And okay, maybe you don't even know what a tattletale is. I know what a tattletale is. But you see, that's what the devil did. That's what the devil's good at. The devil's good at lying and deceiving and slandering and accusing. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, as Jesus has talked about the destruction of Jerusalem in this chapter, the questions are asked, "When will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? When is this temple going to be destroyed?" And Jesus told them about, don't let people deceive you. And it seems like whenever a war or a rumor of a war is about to break forth, just like perhaps there's going to be war in the Ukraine. I mean, it's already going on. It's just not officially called. Russia is in on it. We know that. Only Russia doesn't know that. But most people know that. And he said in verse 4, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many." And then drop down, if you would, to verse 11. "And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." And then also drop down to verse 24. "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible." You see, that's how the devil works. He works through deception, through things that aren't really what they claim to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul compares himself to some of these guys that want to be known as super apostles or strong, powerful apostles. And most of the time, those men that want to be somebody in the church end up hurting the church. I've seen it. I've seen men who want to be Lord over the church, who are going to make the church the way they want the church. And if anybody comes along and has an agenda that is not the agenda of Christ, we have to be very careful and know that those people are not good for the Lord's church. And what they are promoting is not good for the Lord's church. And so then, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, as he's comparing himself with these other apostles, these other false teachers, he says, beginning at verse 13, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Now the question is, who are the servants of the devil? False teachers, false prophets, and false apostles. Because you see, the work the devil does today, he's not going to enter Joe or Heidi and make them do things that they don't want to do, or Bud or Martha or Don or Pam or even Shane. He's not going to enter anybody and take control of their mind physically. But what he is going to do is he's going to work through lies, deceit, and manipulation. When Jesus conquered the devil, there's only one thing the devil has that he can use as his last resort weapon, and it is deceit. And that's the way he works today. But we want to understand that our enemy has already been defeated. He has already lost out on the thing that he wants to do most. I can't imagine anybody glorying in hate, lies, deceit, and death. I don't ever want to cause the death of anyone. I don't ever want to cause anyone to lose their eternal reward. I want everybody that I know to go to heaven, because that's what God wants of us. In Genesis, the third chapter, when the confrontation between God, woman, and the devil occurs, God asks the woman, "Why did you eat this fruit?" And the woman said, in verse 13, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And so the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity," that's war, "I will put war between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He," that is the offspring of woman, "will crush your head," that is the devil's head, "and you will strike his heel." Have you ever heard anybody dying from a bruised heel? Now, I understand if you were to talk to Jenny Neal and you were to ask about Alan's heel that he broke several weeks ago, and although he went back to work last week, it was quite painful for him to try to stand on that broken heel and work at Dillon's as a meat cutter. But nobody dies from a bruised heel. But what about from a crushed head? Everybody, best thing you could ever do to a serpent is crush his head, as far as I'm concerned. Not just cut it off, then crush it. Two tools, a long 6-foot hoe so you can kill it way back over there. And then after you do that, then just an 8-pound sledge or a 10-pound sledge or a 50-pound sledge. Just that's the best thing that could happen to a snake, and especially the devil. We are told, I know that in John chapter 12, Jesus knows the cross is in view. In fact, the cross is less than 24 hours away. In John 12. In John 13, from John 13 through John 19, everything that occurs in those passages occurs in 24 hours. So here we are in John chapter 12. Jesus has prayed that he would glorify God. A voice came from heaven. Verse 28. "I have glorified it, and I'll glorify it again." That is, that God is going to glorify Jesus. Then the crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. And then Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Look at this. Now is the time. The cross is in view. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. What is Jesus saying? The prince of this earth is going to lose his place and be destroyed and be overthrown by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ after his death. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. According to Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews, the second chapter. And verse 14, it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too, speaking of Jesus, shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. The only way God could destroy the devil in the plan of salvation was for the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And yes, death has been destroyed. According to 2 Timothy chapter 1, the passage that we looked at this morning, in fact, that we've looked at the last couple of Sunday mornings, one of those passages, it says, but it has now been revealed, 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. One day, people will die no more. Yes, we will all endure physical death if God tarries in sending Jesus. If God waits, there will be a time where we will physically die. But we will never spiritually die again. Because Jesus has been victorious. He himself has overcome our adversary. We cannot do it ourselves. We, according to the passage of Scripture from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, we must resist him standing firm in the faith. We don't want to leave that faith. We have problems when we leave that faith. We have problems when we try to do things on our own in regard to spiritual affairs. But Paul answered our need by saying this, in the Ephesians 6 passage, starting at verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against this devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. And then we could talk about the rest of the armor that God wants us to put on. But know this. The little kids will sing a song that says, 1, 2, 3, the devil's after me. It's really not quite that innocent. It's an uglier picture than that. It's not just a little child's song. According to 1 Peter chapter 5, the devil is out to get us like a roaring lion. And he wants to pick us off one by one, divide and conquer. Deceive, divide, and conquer. Lie, deceive, divide, and conquer. That's our enemy. But you see, we're victorious because we stand in the faith. We listen to the truth. And we honor our God and Savior by fighting the good fight of the faith. Even if others, even if others lay aside the armor of God and walk away from battle. It is up to you and I to listen to our God, to hear the truth, to love the truth, and fight with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And yes, it is not our war to fight against men. Our battle is against that lying, deceiving, slandering, conniving, accusing person that even may look like an angel of light. I don't even know what that is. I've never seen an angel of light. But I know who God is because the truth is revealed that Jesus has won the battle. We have to continue to fight the fight so that we'll win the battle too. If you're here tonight and the devil has gotten you away from where you need to be, is it time to come home? You know, the son in the story of the prodigal son, he went off and didn't even consider where he was going. And he just wanted to go out and have a good time. If you're listening to the world telling you, let's have a good time, look around you and see that you're in the pig pen of life. And come back to the Father. If there's someone here tonight that is in that situation, we would love to help you get cleaned back up. If there is someone here, though, that may need our prayers, maybe you're going through a time of battle and a time of weakness. Or maybe there's someone here tonight who needs to name the name of Jesus Christ and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, to receive the Holy Spirit and to be added to the church. Folks, there's a battle going on. Look around. If you have a need, come while we stand and sing.